Stephen A., quick takes. Lakers guard Patrick Beverley ejected for shoving Sun center DeAndre Ayton to the floor late in Los Angeles 115-105 loss. Talk to me.
Can't do that. Repeat offender. I don't see him getting just one game suspension. I see it being more than that because it's the second time and it was behind the back. But, you know, what do you say? At the end of the day, if you're the NBA, you can't have this because this is the kind of stuff that will only get worse if you allow it. That's how the NBA is going to see it, and I expect them to come down with a heavy hand on Patrick Beverley.
Over halfway through the season, the preseason favorites in Buffalo remain the favorite at plus 38, followed closely behind Kansas City. Meanwhile, Dallas has improved from plus 1,400 to plus 1,000 after the huge victory over Minnesota, and Dak has Super Bowls on his mind.
Jerry said after the game that that performance convinces him that you guys are Super Bowl contenders. What do you think when you hear the owner of the team talking like that?
I was convinced before. He tells you guys a lot of things. I'm not going to get caught up on one of his statements. As I said, we laid a brick last week, a pretty good one. But we've got to turn the page from that and make sure that we do that again this Thursday and just continue to progress.
All right, Keyshawn Johnson back here with us. Key, which Super Bowl matchup would you be most thankful for?
I want to see Kansas City in Dallas. That's who I want to see. And the reason I want to see Kansas City, because I think Patrick Mahomes, right, he's been in the AFC Championship game ever since he's been the starter. But he gets an opportunity now to win another Super Bowl. It quiet people down from saying, okay, well, he hit pay dirt the first time around. He may never get back. And then the Dallas Cowboys, they get a chance to shut Stephen A. up for a final call, right? You get the opportunity to just kind of quiet him down. Plus, I just want to see the Dallas Cowboys fans get on his damn nerves in Arizona. I can't wait to see the moment that they get that championship trophy again and lift it above their heads in the NFC Championship game, by way, in Dallas. And I hope First Take has to go. On that Friday, because it'll be on a Sunday, but you make Stephen A. go down there on Friday with you, Molly. Well, you got to sit amongst all those Cowboys fans and just take the heat.
I'm tired of Kansas City. I think they've been in enough big games. They've been in two Super Bowls. I tell you, I love this game. Buffalo and Minnesota. They are 0-7. Don't give me that look. And you too, Keyshawn. They're 0-7
in Minnesota.
They're 0-7 combined in the Super Bowl. Buffalo's never won one. Minnesota's never won one.
They lost straight with Fran Tarkenton, I remember.
But I'm Buffalo. So you'd have finally one of these cities to get a chance to win a championship. Plus, we can calm everybody down on Cousins. He'd be in. Buffalo's a fun team. They've never played in this spot. I think a Bill Viking Super Bowl, the fact that the city, one of those cities, would finally win a championship would be an absolute superior Super Bowl.
And you probably think the Purple People Eaters are walking through the door, too, huh?
That's a good team. Paige, Eller, yes. Gary Larson.
And you're going to bring up, you're going to think Kirk Cousins in the Super Bowl. You have lost your damn mind. Absolutely ridiculous, utterly ridiculous selection on your part. Believe it or not, are you ready for this?
Oh, God.
I wrote this down. I had no idea Keyshawn was going to say. Before the show, my selection was the Cowboys and the Chiefs. I'd love to see that. You see, here's the thing.
Here we go.
Why the Cowboys?
Because the fall would be so steep. You see, the Cowboy fans would be hyped. And they will already have crowned themselves Super Bowl champions before the game. I mean, they're doing it anyway. I mean, no matter how much they've stunk up the joint over the last 26, 27 years, somehow, some way, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? So now this time, it would actually be legit. They'd actually have a chance. And don't get me wrong, it would be rough for me. Because understand, Keyshawn, First Take is coming to the Super Bowl. We will be there. We will be there. First Take will be in the house. I will be in the house. All week long, Super Bowl week, okay? I'll be there. Now, damn it, it ain't so far in L.A. I missed that one last year. I will not get into that because I love my boss and I don't want to think about bad memories because I'm going to get upset that I wasn't in L.A. last year. But this is a consolation prize that I can accept. I'm going to be in Arizona for this Super Bowl. And those Cowboy fans going to be there. And before the game, trust me, they already crowned champions and stuff like that, right? But if you thought that the tears you saw on the faces of those fans was bad when they lost to San Francisco last year in the playoffs. Could you imagine how it's going to be when they go to the Super Bowl and they fall? Right. Just thinking about it tickles me to death. I'm going to love it. I mean,
hold that thought, because that certainly would be breaking news, but I have actual breaking news here from our Adam Schefter, if we could get to that really quickly here. During a team meeting minutes ago, Jets players were informed that Zach Wilson is not starting Sunday's game versus the Chicago Bears, sources telling ESPN. Wilson, who's had a 5-2 record as a starting quarterback this season with both losses coming versus the New England Patriots, is being benched. Your reaction?
I have no problem with this decision. I will say to you that yesterday, Keyshawn gave me food for thought in terms of the kind of impact it could potentially have and how you don't make that decision yet. You might wait until after the game against Chicago, after you warned him and gave him an opportunity to respond. But even though he gave me food for thought and I understand where he's coming from, I love this decision because here's the problem. Salah knows the team doesn't believe in Zach Wilson right now. That's the reality of the situation. When you show up in that post-game conference after playing the way that you played and you get asked whether or not you let the team down when you scored just 3 points, you couldn't do anything all day long. You completed 55% of your passes on the season. You ain't doing anything, but you pointing the finger elsewhere. You showed that you ain't man enough to lead yet. Now, he's only 22. So that's not the book is not closed on Zach Wilson. He can resurrect himself and come back from this eventually. But I think this season, as the New York Jets move forward and they try to compete with Miami, New England, and Buffalo for a playoff spot, because it is not beyond conceivable, guys, that all four teams in the AFC East can make the playoffs. All four of them. Because who's the wild card out of the North, the South, or the West? The fact of the matter is, it's entirely plausible that this could happen. I don't blame the Jets one bit. It would be one thing if he performed badly and said, yo, man, I got to do better. I snuck up the joint. I lost this game for us. Okay, I think if he had said that, I think he's starting this week and you following Keyshawn's path and you give him another chance. But the fact that he did that so turned the collective whole of the New York Jets off, it left them no choice but to say, we got to yank his behind for this game.
Yeah, sitting next to Robert Saleh on the sideline with a baseball cap on, charting plays. Okay, I get it. I understand that. I guard against a young player at the quarterback position. This isn't Elijah Moore. This isn't Keyshawn Johnson, a receiver being benched for dropping too many balls and nothing like that. This is a franchise, supposedly quarterback, that you took with your second pick overall after moving on from Sam Darnold. You said he was your franchise. You in the midst of a playoff run. On top of that, you're getting ready to play against a Chicago team that's not very good, and then Justin Fields may not be in the lineup. So I was hoping that they would give him an opportunity to show the team that he's learned from his mistakes, post-game press conference and play, that he can now guide his team to a victory against the lonely Chicago Bears. But clearly, this type of move signals to me that they may be thinking about something else down the line as the season wears on. Because if all of a sudden, whoever that starting quarterback is, whether it's Joe Flacco or Mike White, which I heard that White was a better quarterback in training camp from the eyes of the people that I saw and talked to that was in the Jets, that been around them and said, hey, this dude is actually better, but they never going to do that because he was a number two pick. Now you're putting yourself in a situation where this next quarterback take them to the playoffs and go on a nice run, what are you going to do during the offseason now? That's because when you think about quarterbacks, both you, Stephen A., and Doggy, y'all been around this league for a very long time and watching QBs. Young quarterbacks don't respond well with things like this happening. You lose them. The Josh Rosens of the world. I'm not saying Zach Wilson is Josh Rosen, but Josh Rosen got benched. He never recovered. Never, ever recovered. Young quarterback and Matt Leinart got benched for Kurt Warner. Never recovered. They just don't recover. But maybe they know something more than I do because they're in the building with him. Maybe he's tougher than what we think.
Yeah, I'm with you, Keyshawn. I'm surprised. And I think Stephen A's right. I think the post game, which was awful, he's got a little chip on his shoulder and he hasn't earned it. He's always mocking the media. You know, what do they know about football and everything else? He's a little immature, but I thought they'd give him another go at it. I really did. No, he was awful against the Patriots. I mean, everybody killing Salah with the punt. They lost the game because Wilson had 2 yards of offense in the second half. But I'm with you. I'm a little surprised. I guess Mike White's going to start. It won't be Flacco. They have him as the backup. I'm with you. Listen, I'm not saying Salah's wrong. It's a gutsy call. I'm surprised.
Yeah, and when you think about it, though, Stephen A., this is also coming on the heels of what Justin Fields reportedly said to his team in the locker room after the game, not even knowing what Zach Wilson said. He went in the locker room, if you hadn't heard, to talk to his team and say, it was on me, man. I lost this game. Y'all gave me an opportunity to win, and I lost it, opposed to the difference with Zach Wilson. So I'm sure when they looking at some of that, they sitting there saying, well, this dude ain't a leader, but this other guy that we probably should have drafted is more of a leader.
And by the way, the Chicago Bears have lost 4 straight, 7 of their last 8, right? And with the exception of the loss against the Cowboys when they gave up 49 points, they've been competitive. Miami, Detroit, Falcons, all of those games came down to the wire. And by the way, in those games, in their last 5 games, Chicago's offense has scored 33, 29, 32, 30, and 24. Justin Fields is growing and developing, and obviously he's accepting accountability. The Jets made a mistake passing on that brother.
All right.
Yeah, I'm surprised. This surprises me. And the Jets
and
now.
And Wilson clearly making a mistake how he handled the media.
Oh, terrible.
And he'll have Sunday to think about it. Adam Schefter again reporting that he will not be starting on Sunday. Keyshawn, hope you and your family have an amazing Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you next week.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Oh, it's Mad Dog Wednesday. So you know what time it is. Tell us why you're mad, sir.
I have. The first one is an easy one. How about Steve Kerr and the Warriors? You're going to New Orleans a couple nights ago and nobody plays. Huh? Really? On Monday night? Second time this year. That Golden State played in New Orleans this year. They got blown out in both games, and nobody played. No Thompson, no Curry, no Green, nobody. I mean, how about the people who bought the tickets? And I look, both games are sold out. How about the people that bought the tickets and they want to see the world champs and one of the great players in the history of the sport? And you don't play them. They're not going to New Orleans again. And you don't play them both times because it's a back-to-back. The eighth hole and somewhere in Naples, Bird and Matt, Bird and Jordan are saying, what on the road, get me to play. That is an absolute joke. That bothered the heck out of me. That's number one.
It should, because here's the deal. Steve Kerr, I love him. He's a phenomenal coach. all of this load management and all of this stuff didn't start with the players. It started with Greg Popovich.
Yes, it did.
He obviously has a very close relationship with him. But to take it a step further, it shows the lack of consideration and sensitivity to fans when you do what they did. All three of them, all three. I mean, come on. There's no excuse.
On the road in the same city for the first 2 weeks of the month of the season.
So Stephen A. co-signs.
Co-signs.
I know there's something else you're mad at.
Yeah, that's all right. But he's going to like this one, too. You know, enough about the U.S. soccer team. All right? Youngest team, or they're not going to be intimidated by the big stage. What great enthusiasm. Let's get the flag out. Calm down. They couldn't beat Wales, who has not been in a World Cup since 1958. They fell apart in the second half. They committed an awful penalty in the penalty box. They had no offense. Horrific, horrific substitution battered by the head coach. We got the president give them a pep talk before the tournament started, and they lay an egg like that. You know, they're not going to get out of the round. They're not, England and Wales are going to go, not the United States. That was an awful, awful second half with the money on the line in Qatar a couple days ago.
I don't know about that, what you critique. What I will say to you is this. You are the United States of America. And in the World Cup, as it says, UEFA opponents without a victory 0-5-5, that is not what America stands for. Not that level of alarming mediocrity. I'm very disturbed by that. When you say USA, I expect wins attached to it. Okay. When I don't see wins, I have a problem.
Okay, they didn't play Germany. They didn't play Spain. They played Wales. It's a province.
Okay.
You know the last time they were in the World Cup? Before I was born, the last time they were in the World Cup. I was going to do Wilson, but let's not gang up on him. He just lost his job. But when I hear Stephen A. waxing poetic on the Bear offense, the amount of points they've scored, what a tremendous job. The stand-up job of Fields, you know, my fault. You know, have we seen Fields in these game-ending situations? He keeps both teams in the game. The idea that Justin Fields now is the next Sid Luckman. Look him up. As far as the Bear quarterback is concerned, take it easy. He threw a terrible interception against
Sid
Atlanta. He was awful against Detroit. He couldn't move the ball against Miami. You would have thought that the Bears have found the answer at the quarterback. Here's the key about Fields. When the whole stadium knows he has to throw the ball, he has not shown yet that he can do that.
Yeah,
he's a great runner, but when the whole stadium, big spot, 3rd and 12, back in the huddle, boom, 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 throw the football, he has not shown you that he can do that. So let's take it easy.
We are taking it easy. He's young. He's young. He's shown potential and promise. You look at the Chicago Bears, based on their history of quarterback, they haven't had a star quarterback since Jim McMahon. And damn it, he wasn't really a star for football reasons. He was a star because of the shades, the personality, and the damn song they were rapping to. We are the Bears, the shuffling crew. Shuffle on down, do it. You remember that corny song that they would do it with Sweetness, Walter Payton, and everybody, God rest his soul, with what they were doing? That's why Justin Fields can ball. He has to improve, but he's young. He's showing tremendous promise. He's registering points on the board. And we know they're in rebuilding stages. When you consider what they have available to them, Quinn is gone. Okay, Smith is gone. They traded away big-time names on their squad, particularly defensively. And yet still, they're competing. I give credit.
You like how he handles
if Zach Wilson
himself.
Was doing that, Zach Wilson would still be the starting quarterback for the New York
Giants.
You
Fields
like,
is
how,
handling
you like how he handles
right
himself.
But remember, do you know that he has got the lowest completion percentage rate when he's thrown to a receiver? 24%.
Who is the receiver?
Well, any receiver.
I mean, Allen Robinson's gone.
When he's thrown to his targets, he's 24%.
I'm saying they don't have much weapons to work with right now. Give the guy some time.
You guys put him in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, but we didn't put him in the Hall of Fame. You take it easy.
Right.
You're going to take it easy on Wilson, but not him.
Can I ask you one question? Yeah. When you do this list, is it hard for you to whittle it down? Like, are you angry about so many things?
I didn't have as many this week.
Oh, good.
But usually the play calls. I was also going to get on Nick Sirianni. Did you read Nick Sirianni's quotes, the Eagle coach this week?
I saw.
Killing the Colts about, Frank Reich. What a disaster. You know what I feel? They should never let him go. He's my best friend. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
Frank Reich! Did we see what Frank Reich did?
I was just asking if it was difficult.
Say something!
more.
He was going, it was personal. It was off of his relationship.
I just want to
know. He wasn't objective there.
I'm just talking to my friends at home. Does anybody think this is normal? Like anybody at all whatsoever? I just want to know. Call me.
It's not whether or not it's normal.
Let me know.
It's whether or not it's entertaining and it works.
That's the key word.
And it does. Okay? Okay. Pay attention, Molly.
Move the needle.
Pay attention. Look at
my
it this way.
Gosh.
What other show, Molly, could you show up on wearing a daggone mug sent to you straight from Hollywood?
Okay. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. After yet another stellar performance, Patrick Mahomes has the shortest odds to take home the Pro Football MVP, followed by Tua, who now has the second best odds, will look to continue on his strong season. And staying with the MVP convo, Cowboys star linebacker Micah Parsons sounded off on Twitter on the debate of who should win MVP. Why is this a quarterback-based award? So, Mad Dog, I'll start with you. Is the NFL MVP solely a quarterback award at this point?
It should be, right? I mean, without the quarterback, you're not winning. I mean, and it's the same thing with the Heisman Trophy. 99% of the time, the Heisman Trophy winner is a quarterback. And the same thing should go for the NFL. And listen, how many teams in the history of the NFL have won a Super Bowl with an below-average quarterback? I mean, maybe the, you know, Dilfer with the Ravens, you know, Brad Johnson with Tampa. But for the most part, and of course, McMahon, who was not below average, for the most part, to have you need a good quarterback. And, you know, to beat out Mahomes, how is anybody going to beat out Mahomes? He's the best player in the league. He's the most important player in the league at the most important position, and he's the best at it. So how in the world could he not be the MVP? And I love Parsons. He's fun to watch, great defensive player. And LT in 86 won the MVP.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, you're going to give it to the quarterback year in and year out. I remember in 86, the Giant quarterback was Sims.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a hell of a player,
mm-hmm.
but that was a defensive-oriented and a running-oriented team. So from that standpoint, I understand his point. You know, it's not fair. Look at me, all these sacks. Look at these defensive players. If you don't have the quarterback in the NFL, Stevie A, you are not winning. And he's the best QB, and they're 8-2.
Let me say this to you. I'm going to respectfully disagree in certain respects. I understand what you're saying for the most part. It's a quarterback award. I get all of that. I'm not disagreeing with that. That's very, very obvious for the reasons that you mentioned in terms of the importance of the quarterback position. But that doesn't mean that it always should be. Like, for example, when you think about Micah Parsons, and he's got 10 sacks in 10 games, and you think about the impact that he's had on Dallas defense, then you take into account how they looked without Dak Prescott when Cooper Rush was your quarterback. Even though he didn't make mistakes and he deserved a lot of credit for what he did, the fact of the matter is Dallas's defense carried and propelled them to victories against everybody but the Philadelphia Eagles, and they came back in the second half and almost won that game. So we got to take that into consideration, okay? Then we have to think about this. So Micah Parsons makes a valid point. You know who else could make a valid point? Tyreek Hill. Look at Miami before Tyreek Hill arrived. Look at them now.
That's a good point.
Look at, I know we see what we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes, which just cements his greatness because of what he's doing without Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek Hill made a lot of noise. I called them blasphemous because he talked about Tua Tagovailoa.
and how this dude is accurate, just as accurate as Patrick Mahomes, and he can do X, Y, and Z. And we were like, this man done lost his damn mind. He got to be crazy, because we ain't see that from Tua. Tyreek Hill gets there all of a sudden. We talking about Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle the way people used to talk about Mark Super Duper and Mark Clayton in the 80s when Dan Marino was throwing them the football, except this is a better version. We're looking at Tua Tagovailoa, and all we can say about him is that this brother is undefeated, and Miami is undefeated in every game he has started and finished. They beating everybody in their path, including Buffalo, including the New York Jets. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, when you look at it from that perspective, all I'm trying to say is that a Tyreek Hill, a Micah Parsons, can make a legitimate argument that this is one of those years where it shouldn't necessarily be a quarterback award, because they're making a case for their impact being every bit as dramatic as the quarterback spot.
Now, when Tua was out, Tyreek Hill's Dolphins went 0-3. Mm-hmm. He did not win a game without his quarterback.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that add to the importance of the quarterback?
Well, you could say that, but one game, and they lost to Minnesota. The man had 12 receptions for 177 yards with Teddy Bridgewater throwing him the football. So I'm looking at it from that perspective, too. And I'm saying to you, what this brother brings to the table has had a profound impact on Miami's Dolphins, which has affected their defense as well, because their defense can go out there and be a little bit more reckless, not necessarily as cautious, because they're confident that whatever mistakes they make could be made up for by the offense, which is the antithesis of the New York Jets, because you got Sauce Gardner and others that got to play as much. They got to extend themselves and pray able to make something happen, because they don't have the confidence that the offense led by Zach Wilson is going to generate anything productive for you.
All right. It's interesting. It's a good debate.
Absolutely.
But he likes Tua as the MVP. He mentioned that the other day. That's a good call.
I'm not saying no. Listen, Patrick Mahomes would be my number one guy. I'm simply saying that Micah Parsons and Tyreek Hill deserve strong consideration for that award based on what has transpired this year.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
So much to watch on Thanksgiving. Let's take a look at the three games. There we go. Starting with the Bills and Lions, Buffalo looking to win their third straight Turkey Day game, while the Lions are looking to avoid losing their sixth straight. Next, down at Jerry's World, we got the Giants taking on the Cowboys in a key NFC's matchup. The Cowboys lost their last three Thanksgiving matchups, with their last win coming in 2018 against Washington. And capping off the night, the Patriots will face the Vikings, where the Patriots play their first Thanksgiving game since beating the Jets in 2012, while the Vikings look to beat the Patriots for the first time since, wait for it, 2000. We now go live to Las Vegas to bring in ESPN sports betting analyst and our friend, the one and only Joe Fortenbaugh. Joe, thank you so much for being with us. I'm going to get right to it because, you know, Doggy's real excited to be here. Big better here to my left. Let's start with Buffalo at Detroit. The over-under is 54.5. What do you like, Joe?
Yes, the annual Detroit butt-kicking on national television for all to watch. But fear not, Lions fans, not going to pick against you today. We're going to play under 54.5 total points here. Now, Detroit's hung 31 in each of their last two games, which I think is inflating this number. But that came against the Giants and the Bears. This is against the Bills, a step up in class. They rank top five in scoring defense. And keep in mind that even with those two big offensive performances, the Lions are averaging just 18 points per game over their last six. Buffalo should run the ball here. Detroit's run defense is absolutely abysmal. Take some of the stress off of Josh Allen's arm and give him 10 days to get ready for the next game. Ultimately, I see it being a lower scoring game. I'm going under 54.5.
I'm going over. I'm going to say the 54.5 because I think that Buffalo's going to score at least 40 on Detroit. I mean, they just played there this past week. They're familiar with the stadium and everything else. Not that that really matters much, but I'm just throwing that in there since the game was moved from Buffalo because of the blizzard. All right, they were in Detroit, so now you know what? They go right back to familiar confines. They're going to score 40 on Detroit, and I think Detroit has the potential to score about 24, 25 points against them. So I see this going over the 54.5. I'm going over.
How in the world can you watch Thanksgiving rooting for tackles and punts? And that's what you'd have to do if you want the under. So I'll be like Stevie. I'll go over. I'll say this. I like the Lions to cover. It's 9.5 points. They're due to play a big game. And remember about Buffalo. Yeah. Buffalo does not do a good job, Joe. Last week, the Browns covered. They blew a 27-10 lead to Minnesota. Green Bay covered late in the game. I could see the Lions being competitive. I'll take the points. I'll take the, as Stevie said, I'll take the over just for standpoint of enjoying my turkey, rooting for touchdowns.
All right, we'll keep it rolling here. New York, 9.5-point underdogs at Dallas, super banged up. What's the play?
Well, first of all, a real treat in the show today to have everyone picking against me. Fantastic ambush you guys have set up on Thanksgiving. Back to the business at hand.
You're welcome.
The honest opinion here is that you should probably stay away from a lot that this game has to offer. I think you could play some props like Daniel Jones throwing an interception, but ultimately with all the injuries and all the issues, I lean to Dallas. I don't want to lean to Dallas, but I think New York is in really bad shape coming in here. They're missing cornerbacks. They've got an illness that's ripping through the locker room. A lot of guys are going to show up here. They're not going to be in good shape. Dallas is 1-10 against the spread in their last 11 Thanksgiving games. So it pains me to take them here, but I think the Giants are in bad shape coming into this game.
Listen, I think the Giants are going to get slaughtered in this. I really do. I got the Giants losing by a minimum of 14 points. And I love me some Coach Gdabel and the job that he's done. But based on how I saw them look last week against Detroit, and then to have to go to Dallas, you're injured, you're ill, and your quarterback will make you feel ill when you watch some of the plays that he makes. Or when you combine that, I mean, listen, their only hope is being able to run the football, obviously. And I think on Thanksgiving Day, on a short week, I just don't see that happening. Because as far as I'm concerned, Dallas Cowboys had a short week too, because they didn't have to worry about the second half because they had already slaughtered Minnesota. Wasn't like it was a nail biter. I think this is a bad spot for the New York Giants to be in.
Now, I'll take Dallas too. The one thing that worries me, Joe and Stevie, though, everybody's on Dallas. When everybody's on one team, go the other way. Mm. Because that's the way it works.
They're allergic to
so
prosperity.
Will you go
especially
the other
Dallas.
Way?
I won't. I'll take Dallas. I'm with Stevie, and I'm with Joe. I'll take Dallas. That's a lot of points in a divisional rivalry game. I'll give up the 10 or the 9.5.
Okay.
Next.
New England at Minnesota. The over-under is 42.5. Which way are you going, Joe?
This is going to be the under as well. 42 is a very key number when it comes to betting total. So if you're playing this, you got to make sure you get the hook at 42.5. Games on short rest tend to favor lower scoring affairs, tend to favor unders, and that's a trend going back over 10 years. New England's bringing a heck of a defense to the table here. And Bill Belichick going against Kirk Cousins, I like my chances with Belichick. Hear me out. Belichick's known for forcing the other team to play left-handed. We know Minnesota wants to throw the ball all over the field, so I wouldn't be surprised if New England sat back and nickel and dime and said, we're taking away the throwing lanes, we're going to let you run it underneath. That should lead to a big day for Dalvin Cook, but it also keeps the clock running. Now, on the other side, Mac Jones and that New England offense look terrible. Short week, on the road, crowd noise in Minnesota. Viking defense needs to bounce back. I think this is a lower scoring game.
I agree with you here because I think that what we've seen in the two losses that Minnesota suffered, Justin Jefferson, Philadelphia, and then obviously Dallas, they were able to contain Justin Jefferson. That's what we saw, all right? And when Kirk Cousins doesn't have Justin Jefferson to throw the football to, that chemistry that he's looking to accomplish with Hockenson, that's not there yet. Adam Thielen, even though he's good, he's no Stephon Diggs and he's no Justin Jefferson. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and then you look at New England and the experience on the defensive side of the ball, coached by Bill Belichick, if anybody has the potential to slow down a receiver and make you beat them a different way, it's Bill Belichick and that defensive squad. I think this is going to be under 42.5. That's what I'll go with.
I agree. And I tell you, the good play in this game, take the Patriots on the money line. You're not getting any points anyway. It's 3. Take Belichick to beat O'Connell. Your experienced coach, 3 days rest, Thanksgiving. You know the Patriots are going to be ready to go. You agree with that, Steve?
Yes.
Joe likes it. Joe's nodding.
You agree with that, Joseph?
If Joe agrees, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the number come towards New England. Everyone always talks about the extra rest and how great coaches like Andy Reid take advantage of it. I'm a believer that the short week games, those are the ones that really favor the good coaches. We saw that with Mike Vrabel against Matt LaFleur last week, Tennessee versus Green Bay. Right here, we're going to see it as well. Belichick's edge over O'Connell is going to be seen in this game.
All right. Joe, thank you so much. We're very grateful. Great addition to the show this season. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving
Happy
with
Thanksgiving,
you and your family.
Brother.
And we will talk to you next week. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Breaking news into First Take. Jets quarterback Zach Wilson is not starting Sunday's game versus the Chicago Bears. Mike White will get the nod. Head coach Robert Saleh did confirm this and spoke about it moments ago.
Zach's career here is not over. I know that's going to be the narrative. I know that that's what everybody wants to shout out, and that's not even close to the case. The intent, the full intent, is to make sure Zach gets back on the football field at some point this year. When that is, I'll make that decision. I'm going to take it day to day. The biggest thing with Zach, and the same things that we've talked about, is the young man needs a reset. His decision-making's been fine, his practice habits, all that stuff have been fine, but there's some basic fundamental things that have gotten really out of whack for him, and this is just an opportunity for him to sit back, focus on those things, find a way to get reconnect to all the different things that we fell in love with during the draft process, and it's something that I feel like he's going to be able to do.
Okay. Sometimes we all need a reset. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Saleh handled himself well there. I'm surprised they made the call. I thought he'd give, we talked about earlier, give Wilson another opportunity after that bad performance. And listen, if Mike White plays well, it's hard to get him back in the game. You know, this is not week three. This is week 11. They only got seven games to go. They're in a playoff race. And if they win, you got to leave the quarterback in. So I'm not sure if Wilson's going to get a chance to play again this year. They're going to win some games, and they're going to be in the mix. And so why do you take him out and put Wilson back in? You can't have a quarterback controversy in December. So from that standpoint, he may not play into next training camp. It's White's team for the foreseeable future. And I give Saleh credit. Took guts, Stevie, to make this call.
I give him credit, too, but let's be very, very clear. It probably came from upstairs because originally he wasn't of that position. And then they said that he was 2 hours late to address in the media, which he never is. And our very own Mike Tannenbaum explained that usually when that happens, you're having meetings upstairs. All right, so we got to take that into consideration. That's one thing. Number two, in order for there to be a quarterback controversy, because you bring this up a lot, let me remind you what a quarterback controversy is. Quarterback controversy, doggy, is when you have some people who believe you should be starting while others don't, and you're going back and forth. There ain't no quarterback controversy here. There's nobody that's going to say Zach Wilson should be the starting quarterback for the Jets right now. Nobody. There's no controversy. They knew, and you got to remember, everybody didn't assume it would be White. Some people thought it would be Flacco. And still, there was no quarterback controversy. Because the issue is not who you have coming in. The issue is who's been in and how awful he has been. And the fact that you are awful, plus young, plus devoid of the willingness to accept accountability for your deficiencies and ineptitude is what led to this decision. If Zach Wilson had come there on Sunday and said, quote, "It's on me. I played like straight trash. I got to do better. This is embarrassing. And I owe my teammates better than this." He might be starting this weekend. The fact of the matter is he did it. And because he didn't do that, you had a locker room full of dudes that's looking at him salty. And you know this better than most. When you have a situation where players, or coaches will tell you this all the time, we owe it to our players. That's really where the pressure comes from a coach and making the right decisions. Your responsibility is to put people in the best position to win. If he had put Zach Wilson back out on that field this weekend as a starting quarterback, now the players are looking at you. What you doing? What is this about? I said this years ago, and obviously this doesn't, it doesn't, it's not the same thing, but in a roundabout way it is. Pete Carroll is a great coach. He was a champion at the collegiate level. He's a champion in the National Football League. The Seattle Seahawks should have been back-to-back Super Bowl champions. When Marshawn Lynch catches a pass down the left sideline and scampers it, then he gets another run, and he gets to the half-yard line, and you and New England is clearly reeling, and you call for Russell Wilson to drop back and throw a pass over the middle that's ultimately intercepted by Malcolm Butler. The end had arrived at that whole era led by the Legion of Boom, because everyone believed you just wanted Russell Wilson to be the hero. You didn't want beast mode Marshawn Lynch to close the deal, even though he had put you in a position to close the deal. Now, again, that situation is not comparable to the New York Jets. I'm only bringing it up to say, when you're a coach and you make a decision that clearly is not in the best interest of winning, it gets held against you, no matter how elite you are. And Salah ain't elite yet. He's getting there, but he ain't there yet. He couldn't put Zach Wilson out.
Yeah, I think your point about the locker room last week is the right point. I think if he came out on Sunday and handled himself a little better, he may have been a little more apt to give him an opportunity. I don't know if I like the analogy with Seattle. I don't think he's trying to make Wilson look bad. He just made a terrible call.
I'm just talking about what the players felt. You're trying to make him look good. You wanted him to be the hero instead of beast mode. That's how a lot of them felt. I'm telling you what they told me.
Interesting. Right. Well, Lynch should have had the ball. We all know that. He made a terrible decision.
Jets are currently 6-4, making the playoffs.
I say no.
I think three teams are coming out of the AFC.
Are you ready to have Thanksgiving with us?
Oh, I know.
You're going to be here tomorrow?
Is Carm going to cook something for us when I walk in the house?
No.
We're going to have food here tomorrow. Well, we're going to have a full spread here.
I don't have any food for Carm.
It's too early in the day for you to eat.
A little food.
She's probably watching you right now. She'll probably cook something just for you, just because you said that. You don't need to eat anything. You already eat everything. No.